This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Back of the chest. Coronavirus Self-Isolation Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Back of the Nest Lockdown Sessions, episode 14. I've got Albert and Hesketh in tow. Albert, we'll start with you. How are you doing, good sir?
Yeah, all right, mate. How are you?
Very, very good. I'm about to open a can of Club Tropicana, my favourite tropical IPA out there. So
was it free? Get to that in a minute.
It was free, actually. My friend Nick bought it over a few weeks ago.
There you go. Just
working my way through them.
Wham, weren't lying.
And Hesketh, who has twice in the preamble to this said that he's struggling to get his words out today, which bodes very well for a podcast.
Yeah, I wasn't even telling an interesting story. I just literally couldn't talk English for a little while.
Something about spreadsheets and not fucking up your day job and all that.
Yeah, it's weird. Normally when I talk about my job, I send other people to sleep, but I think I just sent myself to sleep whilst explaining it. So, yeah, like you say, it bodes really well for the next half an hour or so.
Well, it's because you don't have a beer, right? You said to me earlier you were going to get a glass of water, so...
Yeah.
No excuses. Bank holiday tomorrow.
Well, that's it. I'm saving it up, mate. I don't want to drink it all before the bank holiday's over. I am drinking out of a beer Palace Beer Festival glass.
Okay.
But it is water, so swings and roundabouts.
And... after the gin and tonics last week, Albert, with the botanicals and the blueberries?
Well, I know it blew your mind to have, you know, that much culture dumped upon you in the podcast. I didn't want to unnerve you anymore, so I've gone back to a trusty Budweiser, mate.
Nice. Well, okay, good. Let's get started then. Right. We'll keep on the beverages, and this we'll hit this straight off. I was... scrolling through Twitter, and then I saw a video about tea, Albert. And now this is an American person talking about tea. So you know how much Americans know about tea. So let's see if I can get this up.
About hot tea.
That's what she said. Right, here you go.
Hey guys, so I get a lot of questions about hot tea. So today I wanted to show you what this American girl likes as hot tea. So I mix a lot of ingredients together. So first is 1 cup of Insta tea, 2 cups of Tang Country Time lemonade, 1 cup of sugar, another cup of sugar, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of cloves. Mix it all together. Put some water in a cup. Heat your water in the microwave. Add a few teaspoons to your hot water. Give it a little stir. And that's what I... Hey guys.
That's it.
What the fuck is she going on about?
Do you want to start off with boiling the water in a microwave?
I mean, I know they've got a gun problem over there, and I am now starting to see why that might be, because if she tried serving that up in my house and I had a assault rifle to hand, she would probably get it.
Oh my god! Well, yeah. I mean, you've got to see the video as well. It's just she's kind of making like a scoop, like a coffee kind of, you know, mixture where all of this stuff she's adding in and literally just mixing loads of different powders together and dumping it in a couple of spoonfuls at a time into boiling water.
Did I hear her say tang? A couple of spoonfuls of tang. A
couple of spoonfuls of tang. Something lemonade.
A couple of spoonfuls of tang sounds like a legal high that you might buy at Reading Festival.
Someone called
you. There you go. I don't know what else to say, really. That's how Americans are drinking tea, apparently, or at least this American lady.
Did she get my hackles were raised when she said how this American girl makes her tea. Stop talking about yourself in the third person and spend a bit more time on actually making a decent cup of tea.
So maybe we can just respond to her and tell her the way it's done properly. The good thing about it was, though, is how I actually stumbled across this tweet was that it was quoted by none other than Yorkshire Tea's official Twitter account. And their response was, watches video, closes tab, burns computer. So they're on board with you there, Albert.
I think
that. But it doesn't say right. Yorkshire. Yeah, they haven't got the Yorkshire Gold logo, though. It's just regular Yorkshire tea. So I don't know how you feel about that. Right. Two blokes. Don't know who they are. It's a couple of football writers from, I don't know, 19th century football experts, apparently. They've written an 84-page dossier stroke book on why Palace's claim to 1861 is just basically a load of bollocks. Did you read the 84-page dossier?
Funnily enough, I haven't got round to reading it yet. It's on my to-do list. It's about 83 pages down on my to-do list. So
unlikely to make it. Just missing out.
Yeah, just by the skin of its teeth. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, Albert, they've submitted this to the Football League just so they, can be aware of it and take it into consideration whether they go for, whether the Football League want to take this seriously or not. So they think that they're the full-on experts here and everything they're saying is right.
But have we submitted anything to the Football League?
Yeah, so I think we made a bit of a sort of tongue-in-cheek video, didn't we? That's kind of how I saw it. Like, some research has been done, but we kind of realised that there's a big gap here between, like, you know, isn't there something like a 30-year gap or a 25-year gap between games and stuff like that? So I think there's a lot, like...
It certainly feels like a preemptive move on these two Northern lads' part, you know, getting their story in first. When we haven't actually, like you say, all we've done is put out a bit of a jazzy video that's created a mildly interesting and already exhausted point of discussion, you know?
They've said, this document shows the Crystal Palace Football Club claim is slightly absurd and is ultimately reduced to a short note in 1906 in the CPFC Club Handbook, which appears never to be mentioned again anywhere by a CPFC since very recently. So I think in the very first page of Crystal Palace Handbook, it does mention 1861 and that we were part of that. And, I mean, you can't dispute that the same people owned each club. I don't know. But
been mentioned. Just got mentioned a long time ago. I mean, I've done some horrendous things a long time ago and I don't mention them, but it doesn't mean they didn't happen.
You quickly go and look at your Twitter history, Albert.
Yeah.
Predates Twitter, I'm afraid.
Wrath of the Titans don't, mate.
No. Yeah, I got paid for that, though.
Okay. So if you want to go out there, I mean, and read this, it's a bloke called Metcalf and... That's not his first name, by the way. That would be very Victorian if he was. Mark Metcalf and Clive Nicholson have written this 84-page document.
Do we know why they've written it? Like, what's in it for them? Because from my
I think they're bored at home, aren't they? They're in lockdown and they're bored at home, so they just...
That's the thing. Like, obviously I'm a Palace fan and I couldn't give a toss. Like the video, whatever, the link to 1861 is tenuous at best. I don't really care. But these two guys have written like 90 pages on why it's wrong. Rob, come on, mate. Just watch some
telly. I reckon they're disgruntled Sheffield Wednesday fans, and they've seen that. Then they've seen us bigging up, you know, the anniversary of the survival game, and that's been all over there, and they just thought, I've had enough. And they've got they've put the pigeons back in the cage. They've got their typewriter out, and they've written what is essentially a very just overlong, strongly worded letter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think isn't it Sheffield is like one of the oldest clubs. They're not professional anymore, but that's probably what they're getting towards. Not Wednesday or United, a separate club. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if they've taken it way too serious. Maybe if I get bored enough at some point during lockdown, I'll read it, but probably not, to be honest. You mentioned anniversaries there of Sheffield Wednesday. It's also been the anniversary of Stockport the day before recording this podcast. Did either of you watch the game?
I did.
What about you, Albert? You've got much better things.
Yesterday or actually when it happened?
What?
The answer to one of those questions is yes. I was,
you know, I've watched this game once before last night, and that was at the game.
Yeah, correct.
So it was. I found it super interesting to watch back, and a bit like watching the Sheffield Wednesday game back as well. The first thing that I kept, well, the reoccurring theme of what I was thinking throughout is, my God, the quality of football here is fucking dreadful. So I think we've got a little bit spoilt, and we talk about Hodgson playing boring football and all that and not scoring many goals, but at least we're seeing people that can actually control the ball and pass it 5 yards at least some of the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. It felt like I was watching it with Vanessa yesterday, and obviously a lot of these players she didn't know because
What do you mean you've never heard of Wayne Carlisle?
Patrick said that was the first time watching it last night he ever saw Wayne Carlisle play, because obviously he was living in the States and we weren't on TV at that point because it just hadn't got across that we were in the Championship, that it was impossible to watch us. So I actually told him to switch off if he had any sort of ideas that Wayne Carlisle was a good player.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, like Vanessa would be like, oh, what was this player like? And in my head, I was like, yeah, he was pretty good. But obviously, relative to where we were, he was pretty good. You know, like Tommy Black would have a great game every now and again. Or, you know, Aki would run around and do some good stuff. But like you say, compared to where we're at now, and you're watching, you know, players like Kabai, Wilf, you know, it's different leagues, isn't it?
I wanted to raise this. Me and my brother were texting back and forth yesterday about Stockport because we went and we were reminiscing about the day. And the subject of Kalinko came up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when was Stockport? 2001. So we were talking about the day. I was 16. I was really, really hungover. And I've never really been a fan of the exotic cigarettes, shall we say. But the night before Stockport, for some reason, I'd gone very big on it, probably under some form of peer pressure, Mum, if you're listening, and felt dog awful the next day. And there was five of us in the car. My brother was really hungover and he was being sick. Do you remember when cars, it was a Ford Focus, our mate Ben drove up there. Do you remember when Ford, they had like, and a lot of cars had it, like they're just a little clip on the windows at the back. So they didn't open down. They just pivoted out at the back on a little like clip. You couldn't really open it all the way. And we were on the M1 or something. And my brother was trying to be sick out of that, whatever that is, 1¾-inch gap in the window down the side.
Wasn't that on the Ford cars? Like the KA?
The KA would have had it as well, yes. Yeah, but this was in a Focus. It was a slightly more executive car that our mate Ben drove. I've got on a massive tangent here. Anyway, we were talking about the game and it's something like that. And my brother said, let me just get the message up because I was just sort of getting into bed and winding down for the night. And this riled me. Just bear with me one second. He said, I'm just going to type in the word Kalinko and it'll come up because believe it or not, I've not had many chats about Kalinko on WhatsApp over the last.
You don't chat with Mike Scott often then.
He spoke to him really.
This is a fantastic anecdote so far.
Well, Mike Scott of this parish, who put Alex Kalinko in his favourite all-time 11, is waiting with bated breath for this.
He's put Kalinko was toilet, wasn't he? Liability, absolute juggler.
And I, to be fair, Vanessa,
I sat up in bed. My head had just touched the pillow, and I saw that, and I sat right up, and I wasn't having that. And I replied, "Wash your mouth out."
I mean, this is a perfect example of what I was saying. So in my head, he was all right. He'd make great saves, and then he'd be absolutely awful. And when Vanessa was asking me about him, one game I remember, I'm fairly sure it was against Grimsby, because I think Bradley Allen scored. He haired out of goal and went to hoof the ball up the pitch and then just completely missed it.
Run past it, yeah.
And the bloke just ran past him and scored. And funnily enough, yesterday, before they put the Stockport game out, Palace tweeted the goals from the Portsmouth game that came before Stockport. Kalinko, like an absolute juggle in that game. Catches the ball and then under absolutely no pressure beyond, you know, a blade of grass hitting his back, just throws the ball up in the air towards the striker who scores.
Now, I could send you some blunders from Julian Speroni. Are you going to write him off?
Did Jules get slapped for being a giggler?
That's for a giggler, a juggling giggler. My riposte was I went straight on YouTube and I hadn't seen it for fucking years and just typed in the words Kalinko Newcastle. That was my counter bang. To which my brother put, well, "What's he doing out there in the first place?
Why has he stood by the corner flag in the first place?"
And I put, "Covering the fullback."
Do you know, I think it might have been me who put that up on YouTube, thinking about it. Because a friend of mine called Chris Windsor, people might know him as Skippy as a Palace fan, he had it for some reason.
It is your video. How did I not see that?
Yeah, so he, for some reason, had the video on his computer and he sent it to me. And I uploaded it to YouTube. I was like, this has to be up there because it was for the back of the back. Oh, it was in the back of the day articles that I was doing on my website. So, yeah.
Oh, wanted
it
up there.
That's why it's in such grainy quality because it's come off of like a super old like link, you know. It's not. Yeah, what is he doing?
None of that widescreen nonsense.
Yeah, but the fact he gets back is unreal.
I was at that game and remember at the time, obviously, you're following the ball. So the last time I'd seen him was stood on the corner. And all of a sudden there's this like grey blur and the ball's shot off in the other direction. It was amazing.
He came out of nowhere. It's literally like it's like he teleported from the corner flag to the middle of the goal. It was a ridiculous save. But yeah, I mean, in the Portsmouth game, he drops across onto his own feet more than anything that goes in. And it was a huge goal, especially the goal where Portsmouth scored right at the end of that game. I think they scored at the end of both halves. But a goal at the end of the second half was huge for them in terms of goal difference. It was really like super important. And as it was saying there, if Palace had won 2-0 and Huddersfield had got a draw, they would have gone down. But it could have been 1-0 and a draw if they hadn't scored that goal late on against us. So I really remember at the time being gutted that Portsmouth had scored that second goal. But then you go to when it's 0-0 in the Stockport game, I mean, Kalinko comes out like Superman trying to punch the ball and just completely misses it. And thankfully, all of the Stockport forwards and anyone who had a chance that day were shocking and he put it wide. And that was Aaron Wilbraham and Chef Kikuchi were playing up front for them that day. I mean, Albert, Wilbraham, A, still going, still scoring goals, or maybe just retired at the end of last season. But more importantly, his appearance has changed quite somewhat, hasn't it?
I mean, I haven't seen him recently. And again, I didn't watch the... I haven't seen the Stockport game back, really. So I can't tell you what he looked like when, you know, in 2000. But, I mean, I was... I remember... We were talking about this yesterday again. But like, I remember Coochie, Shifty Coochie, being a Stockport player. But the Wilbraham thing, it's like a weird parallel universe. They just seem poles apart. Obviously, because they played for us, what, 5, 6, 7 years apart, something like that.
Yeah,
it just seems weird that even in an even more distant time that we played against them both in the same team, and it was in Stockport.
Hmm. Well, I reckon, I don't know, I would say that Aaron Wilbraham has probably got the phone number off Cenk Tosun more than Andros Townsend.
But, yeah. Little dusting on top of his head.
I must get hold of that number.
But yeah, they were just dreadful in front of goal. It was watching it back, I'd forgotten so many things about it, you know. But there weren't many clear cut chances in the game, but there was lots of so many penalty shouts, like so many. The time ball was hitting people's hands in the penalty area or around the penalty area.
What are you talking about?
No, but there was other ones. One, I think it might have been Aki Rialati's arm. It bounced off. There was a couple of Stockport arms. It bounced off in their penalty area. Forsell was absolutely wiped out for what was a Stonewall penalty as well. So watching it back, I actually don't feel that bad about us getting away with a Hopkin handball, because we could have had 3 penalties in that game by the letter of the law. So it was a little bit watching it back. Yeah, same. I was, you know, that was such an emotional day, a really long day as well. I was poor back then, so it was club coach there and back, and yeah, really long and emotional day, and I'd forgotten a lot about it. But the goal, we'll have to talk about the goal. Hesketh, terraces are just the best, aren't they?
Yeah, terraces are wicked. I was texting my mate at the time, and I was saying I really miss going on a terrace when it was just the bundles, you know, like you end up miles away from where you started. But I think with that goal, I remember it pretty vividly. And we were sort of stood on the side that the ball ended up in, so sort of in that corner of the net. And it's just one of those where, there's no way, even when you watch it back, you know he's going to score. He's so confident. He tried it a little bit earlier in the game as well, which I hadn't remembered, but saw it when I watched replay yesterday. But just when he's like running at speed and he takes that one touch to sort of take the defender out in the box, you just know he's going to score, and then it's just carnage. And yeah, I mean, like, obviously it's a massively famous goal for us, isn't it? But watching it yesterday, because obviously you watch the goal replay a lot. You know, we've seen that goal millions of times. But like you said, there's so much happening in the game that you don't remember. But it all builds up to that moment. And yeah, I mean, even watching it yesterday, I was just celebrating, you know, such a good goal, such an important goal, and seeing everyone bundle onto the pitch from the stands and all the players embracing it as well was great.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, just watching it back, you just forget things like, you know, Greg Berhalter had a great game. Dean Austin had a great game, you know, like not great by the standards that we see of our centre backs now, because I think we're blessed with some of the centre backs we have now. We see a really high standard there, but you know, they're really putting their bodies on the line, sticking their heads in the places where it hurts. You know, Dean Austin iconically running around with that headband on for sort of bandage from what he picked up in the Portsmouth game earlier in the week. But it almost all went to pot in the final minute. In the final couple of minutes, first there was a Tommy Black pass back, which I'd actually completely forgotten about, but he nearly puts that striker through on goal, but he sliced his clearance so much that he got enough spin to take it away from the striker. But then there's the famous one with literally the last kick of the game when Jamie Smith nearly lobs Kalinko. Yeah, Albert's favourite. Smith, don't know what he's doing, tries to heads it back, gets a bit too much swaz on it, and then Kalinko's slipping over, he's running back towards it. Do you remember that from the day, Albert?
I remember that, yeah. That was another clip my brother sent me yesterday. It's so bizarre, that whole incident. It's really hard to know who to blame. You're like, is that Smith's fault? Is it Kalinko's fault? Not too sure.
It's like Jamie Smith trying to be super calm in a really high-pressure situation. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to nod this back to the keeper. It's what I always do.
Nod back to the keeper. Yeah.
And just gets like a little bit too much on it because it's a high-pressure situation. Kalinko can't help. Yeah, Kalinko can't help slipping. It's not his fault that he slips, but you know, he recovers well. But at the time, Heskey, if I remember at the game, it just felt like time stood still. It was like it happened in slow motion.
And that's another thing when you watch the replay, even though you know, and it's happened with a number of games, one of which we showed by Palace 8, the playoff final, you know it's gonna happen, and you know the outcome already, right? So we know that we won 1-0. But when you're watching it and you see the header like loop over Klinko, my stomach still goes a bit. I still think, oh, and then you know. But what I was going to say was, I was looking, I'm trying to do it every day, and I do it most days for the back of the nest Twitter. I'm doing like old programs from across the years that I've been going, and I dug out the Stockport one. And the two people we've been talking about, they describe Alex Kalinko. It's sort of a mix of Albert and his brother, it sounds like. They describe him as a superb shot stopper with more than a touch of continental flamboyance.
Juggler.
Giggling juggler. And they put that the star man is Jamie Smith.
Wow.
Not quite sure why, considering earlier on they talk about Fussell, Friedman and Morrison. But star man, former Wolves star, Jamie Smith.
Wow.
So there you go. That's what Stockport thought of us.
So do you think Trevor Francis didn't like his continental flamboyance? Because an original Brexit means Brexit kind of scenario. But Daniel Schilling on Twitter has said, my one real memory was almost having a heart attack when Kalinko slipped as the ball bounced over him. I do believe this is why I'm on blood pressure tablets. And another memory from Craig Skinner, which is that Big Brother? Did we check that? Let's have a look.
I mean, he was Craig, a scouter. I'd be surprised if...
Big Brother. His name was Philip. So it's not Craig. No,
it's not him. It's not him.
No, it's not Craig from Big Brother, unfortunately.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
He said, my biggest memory was being so confused as to why they wanted to relegate us so much. And that was one thing, again, I remember from the day. And it was funny hearing it back. With all the Palace fans singing Stand Up If You Love Palace, and the Stockport fans retorting with Stand Up If You're Going Down. And that was a big overarching thing from the day, is that they really wanted us to go down, Albert.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a very popular club, are we? Let's be honest, everybody finds us mildly irritating, or they don't like our ground, or, you know, for whatever reason. So, you know, when you're a very small fry, bitter northern club, you know, when you're ordained with the presence of Friedman, Morrison, Forsell, Berhalter, you know, you're going to be
World Cup star Greg Berhalter. Exactly.
Thank you very much. They're going to be a bit bitter.
Mm. Yeah, it was. It's kind of like echoes of Charlton really wanting to relegate us in 2005, but you get that. You understand why that would happen. There's a local rivalry there, and you know they obviously absolutely despise us, where you know we're just kind of like, why you like Stockport? But Dougie Friedman's been interviewed by Chris Grierson this week, and that's up on the Eagles, palace.eagles.cpfc, whatever it is. What is it called? Eagles.cpfc.co.uk. That's what it is. Palace TV.
If it's not, that's what it should be called.
And Dougie Freeman said, you know, the one of his big overarching memories of the day is remembering how much they wanted to relegate us so much. And he was just, you know, he said, we played them 4 months later at home and beat them 4-0. And it was because we really wanted to beat them after them trying, being such tryhards on the final game of the season. And you can see Freeman's like, kind of like, you know, I understand it's good because, you know, a lot of this is talked about. This is the integrity of the English game, which doesn't exist in a lot of other leagues, that teams really do try hard to the end. But he's like, at the same time, just like, leave it out, lads. You've got nothing to play for. You can't go up. You can't go down. Just you know, give it to us. But there you go. So
well, you look at the final table, then you finish 2 points above us. There were 2 places and 2 points above us. So it's like, don't get cocky when you're all so shit. Like, you're not like breezing the league. So
yeah, they were in a pretty similar position to us as well. It was like financial stuff, a lot going on off the field and things like that. So they should have been a little bit more understanding. But
were you on the pitch at the end?
Yeah. I didn't go on.
I was.
Yeah.
No. I went in what I would probably call second or third wave. You know, you let the early runners go, see if they're getting nicked.
Took a while to, yeah, pluck up the courage.
And then just go, yeah, come on then, we'll go. Come on. Go on, you first. And I gave my mate Steve a little hop up. We had a little saunter on. Whee, that was it.
Did you give it large to the Stockport fans?
No, I was too hungover. I was too 16, hungover and giddy. But I did give some to Jonathan Pearce on the way home. I say gave some. We were all in the aforementioned Ford Focus, and I was getting in the back, and there was 3 of us. It was quite tight. And either Ben or my brother, who's in the front, spotted Jonathan Pearce getting into his car, who'd obviously been on comms. And I think I've told this story before on the podcast many moons ago. Everybody's shouting out the window, "Hey, Pearcey, hey, Pearcey." And I remember scrabbling to, again, the aforementioned little pivot window just to stick my face out like an angry dog. And all I could muster was, "Robot Wars!" Just shouted Robot Wars at him. Why not? He probably doesn't get that a lot.
Yeah. So I'll try and get this cleaned up a bit for the live version. I don't know if I can do that, but you're talking of Jonathan Pearce. Have you heard his commentary from that day?
I might have heard it again nearer the time, but that was almost 20 years ago. Well, it was 20 years ago.
I'll play it for you now.
Season. Barnet relegated from the third division, Brighton champs, Millwall winners of the second division, Luton relegated, Fulham champions of the first division, relegated, QPR, Tranmere, but not Crystal Palace. Save today, the nights for celebration and dancing. Anyone fancy a boogie, woogie, doogie? A freed man tonight, Palace out of jail. Good night. Corner kick then by Scott Thompson, dinked in, Austin goes for the flick on, oh, he knocked it off the line, cleared off the line, it was Clark who got it away, Palace so close then to taking the lead, Freeman holds, he went to the left, it bounces away, bounces quietly, Paul Sellings on the penalty, he's brought down, that has to be a penalty kick and it's not given, the flag stays down, the referee doesn't give it, and to me it looked like a clear penalty, and Forsell goes down, and no spot kick given, Freeman cutting to the edge of the penalty, Jinx wider this time against Flynn, can pull the cross back in, Morrison 6 yard out, oh he steered it wide, he was facing away from goal, he turned and spun it wide, had no idea where the goal was, it was instinct, trap for Crystal Palace, Freeman into the stop ball penalty, still digging Freeman, still digging Freeman, it's the boogie woogie. Close to the wire so many times.
relegation, promotion and Wembley. Heartache, heartbreak, heartbreak. It's the boogie woogie doogie boy. It's 1-0 to Palace.
Capital Gold Sports Club. Powered by sports.com. Click here for football.
I mean, that's how I remember football commentary, like growing up, you know?
Robot Walls!
Listen to the radio. He was there pouring all of that passion into announcing how Palace have stayed up, and you're giving him abuse, mate.
I didn't abuse him. It was more, I just couldn't think of anything else to say, so I just shouted Robot Walls. I mean, that is some piece of commentary, but listening to that, I couldn't help but keep thinking to myself, Christ, is that song 20 years old? Like, it was all this 20 years ago. Fuck.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? I mean, more years have passed since that game than the age I was at the time. Which
what have you got to say that?
Yeah. Well, definitely for you, because you're younger than me. So I think I would have been 18, almost 19 at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy though.
Half my age now. I was 19 then, and it was 19 years ago.
Yeah,
I was 15. Oh yeah, I was 15. Jesus.
And so we didn't touch on it back then when you said it. I kind of let it slide, but I'm not going to anymore. Your mum was giving you weed when you was 15.
No. Just said if my mum was listening, that I had had a lot of it the night before, but probably because of peer pressure, not. Because I thought
it was your mum peer pressuring you.
No, I mean, she loved it back in the day. I've seen the photos, but a weeb, that is.
All the other boys your age in school are doing it. just have a little toke on the wacky backy.
No, I never got. Mate. Just the thought of it sent me bandy. So I was more than happy just to have a couple of cans of Fosters and throw up that way.
no Bacardi Breezers or MD 2020.
No, what was the really crap Alco Pop? It wasn't Bacardi Breezer. No, it was worse. Blue Label, orange.
WKD, no.
No, it was. I have to look it up, but yeah.
Back when we were kids.
Yeah,
I mean your age. It might VK Vodka Blue VK something like that.
I remember it having some sort of, I can't remember. I have to look it up. But it was bad. But when you're that age, you just, it's whatever anyone can get hold of, isn't it? So didn't particularly like it, but that's what we could get out the offy without raising any suspicion.
So I'm looking here. We've got Two Dogs, Hooch, White Lightning, Bacardi Breezer, WKD Original. These are all the famous ones that I remember. I don't remember any. Anything else?
It might have been a really
VK Blue. VK was like a range of different brightly coloured Alco Pops.
Yeah, this was definitely like orange flavoured. It was like a boozy Lucozade type flavour.
Yeah.
But I had so much of it, I can't remember what it was called. It's a murder one now, though.
Yeah, I mean, one of the worst nights ever was... I think it was around this time. It would have been around this time, actually, of this game that we're talking about. And going to a pound night where it was like a pound for a vodka, but you could double up for 170. And then bottles of Reef, which was another Alco.
That's it. I've just found it. Reef.
Reef. Yeah.
Reef.
Yeah.
Put so your hands up.
I had a night where I put, I had about five double vodkas and two bottles of Reef in a pint glass, like five times over. And it's probably the worst drunk I've ever been. It was horrendous.
Oh, it looks really good. I'm looking at it now. Oh, man. I think
I've got no stories about getting absolutely wasted when I was a teenager because I didn't start drinking until I was 28. So
now you're making up for lost time?
Yeah, I should get on the Alco Pops now, see what I've been missing.
I would be well up for us doing that and filming it and just watching you like do these really stringy vomits that used to happen as a result of drinking those things.
Well, we've done the we did the gin and tonic special. Maybe we do the Alco Pop special.
I think if we do a spirits or Alco Pop special at the end of the season, which is coming up, I think, isn't it? I've lost count of where the fucking season is now. That would be the best bonus episode of the year, of all time.
Of all time. Well, yeah, the season would be ending next weekend, wouldn't it? Yeah, 17th would have been the last game at home against Spurs.
Bloody hell.
What do you, just from a footballing perspective, what do you, what are your chaps' thoughts on what should happen with the season? Should it carry on in a weird format, just bin it, or what, you know, what do you reckon?
Just get rid of my
parish has been in the press this week.
I'd to be honest, just put a pin in it and bin it if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, Brighton and Watford are so precariously close to relegation. So I'd like to see, you know, and West Ham as well, I'd like to see at least one of them go down. So I'll say finish it. But in a kind of like, get them all in a few stadiums, or like, you know, just, and do 3 games a day on the same pitch, just get it banged out as quickly as possible, get them to play games every other day and just get it over and done with.
Yeah, I think the same. I'd like to see it finished, but obviously there's so much that goes into that happening that I guess no one really knows what's going on. It's funny that the 6 teams opposing having the season finished are the 6 teams who are at the bottom of the league. I know Brighton's chairman's been quite vocal about it. But like Terry said, I want them to go down. So anything that you know, if we prolong the season just so they can get relegated, I'm all for it.
Well, if the season does restart and it's anything like our form of our players on FIFA, we'll probably be going down as well. Max Meyer has today lost to James Maddison in the latest Premier League iteration of FIFA tournaments that's going on, adding himself to the list of Andros Townsend and Wilfried Zaha. But Albert, it was nice to see Max get a game.
I like it how you couldn't finish that without a chuckle. Well, it had to happen one day, didn't it? What, did he lose because Roy kept trying to sabotage it? Like, what, you know, why are you playing? You shouldn't be playing. And was like trying to unplug it at the wall.
He actually took the lead twice, Max Meyer, and lost 3-2. So it's a very un-Palace-like. We don't really throw away.
Playing as Crystal Palace?
Yeah. So James Maddison was playing as Leicester, but they capped the players. Every player's rated the same. So you don't get an advantage like that.
Well, you know, it's just another question mark over Max Meyer's ability, isn't it? That's the, you know.
Yeah. And earlier on, James Maddison had beaten Callum Wilson of Bournemouth 8-1. And you know how many goals that is, don't you? Nine. And last bit on the order is, we've got Sellers Park is now being utilised by a local London ambulance service staff for rest and meal breaks whilst on duty, with hot meals, refreshments provided for all guests prepared by club chefs. Now, this is obviously another step of Palace doing wonderful things during this whole COVID-19 outbreak, pandemic, whatever it is. But of course, the only problem with this is that Sellers Park's so difficult to find that. Right, I think that's about it. Hesketh, you enjoyed yourself?
I have. I may be making a cameo appearance on the review show, or not the review show, Lockdown 14, or whatever the next one's called.
15, Lockdown 15. So that will be to give your all-time favourite 11.
It is, which is, I've already been told I'm not allowed a subs bench, so I'm tying myself in knots already. So see what I decide when that comes out.
Is there any shocks in there, or any controversials, like Kalinko, for example?
Absolutely no Kalinko in my team. Sorry, Albert. Sorry, Mike. There's players that I want in there, but they don't fit. And there's a player in the current team. In fact, there might be 3 players in the current team who are in it.
Yeah. Well, I off the top of my head, I know 2 of yours very easily. Yeah. Albert, have you done yours yet?
I don't think so. No.
Well, I think I'm scheduled for the following week to do mine, so I'll give that a lot of thought, and I'm going to piss off loads of people, and I'm going to do it deliberately as well. But, but there you go. So thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back next week, which, well, next week should be Alcopop week and gin and tonic week, because it would have been the last one of the season, as we have just discovered. So get your botanicals ready, Albert.
I've already got them in hand. Do they still sell Reef?
Probably not, to be honest, but
I'm googling it now.
Do they, whoever they are, still sell Reef?
I know the band are still going. Give it up, lads.
Reef, it apparently so.
Sweet.
There you go. I'm gonna
get my mask on and go down Costco.
Orange and passion fruit Reef from Amazon Prime. You can get. Oh no, add to list. We don't know when this item will be back in stock.
Oh, it's all the panic buyers.
Oh, got it.
Oh God, it's got. You may, if you want this, you may also like Aftershock.
Oh fuck!
You might be right.
Oh.
To be discussed in the WhatsApp chat, I think.
Yeah, this Alcopop is making a comeback in UK supermarkets, and that is Reef. So there you go. Well. We'll try and end this now. Albert, thank you. Hesketh, thank you. We will be back next week, but listen out for Hesketh on the review show on Sunday, where he'll be giving his favourite all-time 11 along with Hambo and the rest of the game. So until next week, up the Palace.
Of the Chest Coronavirus Self-Isolation Podcast.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.